Can you repeat the date, please? I didn't have the recorder on.
May we start this?
Yes, you can start now.
Is it on mute?
No.
Thank you. All right. Today is April 8, 2024. It's 9 o'clock. This is the regular meeting of the work session for the Board of County Commissioners for Uinta County, Utah. We'll start off with a discussion related to the function and possible combination of the Library Board, Historic Preservation Board, and the Uinta County Heritage Museum Advisory Board.
Silence.
Commissioner Norton had that, but she had beat feet on this. All right, skip that one for a second. Backhoe loader lease agreement with Wheeler. Scott?
Yes, I just need to present the rental agreement. It's not a lease agreement, it's a rental agreement. And because of that, I have to present it every year for approval. $14,000 for a 430 backhoe for the road department.
Okay, any discussion on that?
I had some questions. Is that same one that's like 4 or 5 years old? Have we looked to see if we can? I know a lot of these water districts, they will rent different backhoes for a year and then turn around getting to get a brand new in the next year.
They've gone away from the rental type for that reason. Because like this one's $14,000 and the prices keep going up, but we've kept this one just because it's as cheap as it is. Now they're going to just the lease agreements. They'll do a 5-year lease agreement, not the yearly rental.
Okay. I just wanted to third. And Zeke, where'd he go? Did you look at anything?
Nothing's been through my office yet. I saw one out this morning. Do you have a rep filled out for this already? Is that the one I saw that came through?
So I have the rental agreement for the 430 for the road department, and I have a lease agreement for a 420 for Buckskin Hills.
Okay. So the road department one hasn't been through my office yet, so I haven't seen that one.
That's this one?
But the lease agreement was a lease purchase. So that one we've got in the budget, and that's the commissioner signed that three years ago.
Yes.
So that's a lease purchase, but this was a rental, and that was my question.
Yes.
Where was it 5 years old? Are we still getting the best deal we should be getting?
Yes.
Okay.
Is this just on one, or is there eight? Or is that okay? So the ones that I abate for personal property is a different.
That's probably the greater you're thinking about.
Yes.
Okay. Mr. Norton, come back to discuss this. Number one, we just talked about related to the combination of the boards.
Yes. After
use your mic.
After talking with legal, with our legal counsel, we are looking to combine the Historical Preservation Board and the Uinta County Heritage Museum Advisory Board, and just to be more efficient, to consolidate these two, we'll try to have someone that can represent the Heritage Board or be the liaison for the Heritage Museum Board with the Historical Preservation Board. We will leave the Library Board on its own. John, you might want to state this a lot better than I do.
The Library Board is a creature of state statute, and so it has its defined responsibilities and then also things that it can do. And so as I was looking at those statutes, it appeared to get really, really cumbersome if we were to try and add other duties to the Library Board. Because it has its own very defined lane of what it's able to do. Also, the two boards that we're talking about, the Museum Board and the Heritage Preservation Board, they are strictly in an advisory position where the Library Board does have its own primary duties that it has to do that the County Commission doesn't have any say over. And so there was some of that bleeding as well that I was worried about because it gets difficult when a board is just advisory. But then if they also have functions where they are primary, it gets very confusing because then, you know, feelings get hurt if they feel like they're not the ones actually making the decision. All they're doing is providing advice to the county commission to then make the decision. So my advice is to keep the library board by itself, just allow it to do its job. We also seem to not have a shortage of people who put in for those positions. But on the museum board and the historic preservation board, combining those could help in filling the positions as well. I don't know how many we have on each of those boards. I know the statute or the ordinance on the museum board says no less than 5, no more than 7. But I don't know how many we have on it right now.
On the library?
The museum board.
On the museum? I believe there's 7 that's on that one.
We have 7, but there's 7 on the board, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So that could help as well as if we just had a 7. And I'm just making up a number. But if we only had 7 instead of 14 positions that we were trying to fill, it's really hard sometimes to get people to fill these positions. We end up doing a lot of headhunting and recruiting. So that could help as well in making sure that the positions are filled and that their duties can be accomplished. So.
Yeah, I probably wouldn't put this on tomorrow, though, because we want to do it with these boards, though, and kind of make sure they're getting the input from them as well before we decide to combine. So that's just something we've been talking about. Wanted to bring it to a work session, see if anybody had any other input or anything on that.
Well, my office can work on combining the two once we get that direction. What we would do is we just take these two ordinances and combine them into one and repeal the two existing ones. So yeah, just let us know when you're ready to at least go to that level, because then I'll put a draft together and we'll bring it back into a work session meeting to discuss.
Okay. Anybody else have any comments? Okay, Ms. Richards, you're on for the Public Defender Contract with District Court.
Lance actually just texted me, he's on his way.
Okay, we'll put that aside. Okay. We'll move to item 4, the requesting a donation to to Utah Chapter of Public Lands Council to cover public lands council fees. Matt?
Yeah, Richie Anderson's here as well. I don't know if you want to come to the table, Richie. This is a request by the Public Lands Council, which are they're a group of public land ranchers and that have formed the Public Lands Council. It's a national organization. But they advocate on behalf of farmers and ranchers that use public lands for their operations. And they're asking that the county help fund the state chapter and give $1,000 that would help pay the state chapter fees. I think they're $25,000 each year. So that's a request, and Richard can add more to that. I think he's talked to the commission, the commissioner in the past as well. So.
Yeah, do you want me to add to that? Or do you have
sure.
Any questions? So, yeah, the Public Lands Council is a national organization. It's been established for quite a long time. We do have an office in D.C. and staff full time. Utah's been a member of the PLC for a long time and is traditionally paid through the Utah Department of Agriculture. Our fees, our dues were through the fees that we pay to Grace. Utah gets a portion of that, and Utah has been paying our membership into this through those fees, but an audit said we can no longer do that. So we had to develop our own system of paying for our fees to keep us a member of this deal and keep our efforts going in Washington, D.C. So we were asking each rancher for $100 per allotment as well. We established the Utah PLC, so we're an affiliate to the National PLC. We have a board members for we're a nonprofit deal, but we lobby primarily for the protection of public lands grazing. But we're a multiple use, will advocate for pretty much all multiple uses, recreation, oil, gas, those types of things. So if the county paid $1,000, they'd be a member, they would be a non-voting member, but would be a member. If we're asking for $1,000, we would take, $500, help us pay our dues and get us up and running. So.
Now, are you a 501c?
We are.
Did you say it's Sioux Cabins, or who is it that does the $100 allotment for allotments?
So we ask each rancher that owns allotments to pay $100 for the top of 10 of us.
You said we. That's what I'm saying. Who's the
public we? Public land. Utah Public Land.
So you're just saying having them do that through the Utah Public Land?
Yeah.
Okay.
So, I mean, it's a good resource for the county on public land grazing issues, kind of all public land issues, really. They're a good resource to help on the NEPA process and those type of things.
Okay, Mike, don't we already belong to PLC?
I believe we do, but also I was going to throw this out to John. I think this is a great organization, but where it's a donation under the Doug Short thing, short case, I don't... So I'm throwing back to that one. The word donation just puts red flags up, and so I kind of go back to where you said the state was paying it, the state got an audit, you can't pay that, and so I'm curious, we would fall under that same umbrella if the state was paying it, the state can't, we can't, so I'm throwing that back to Sturmer on that one.
Yeah, the requirements would be under the Doug Short case, similar to what we do with the chamber. We ask them to prepare a packet every year that shows the public benefit coming back, because that's really where it comes from. We're not able to donate to private organizations unless there is a reciprocal value that's coming back to the county. And so that's what we would need to look at and value what that would be. So if it's $1,000, we got to be able to show $1,000 coming back to the county. Somehow it's 500 with the chamber. They put together a packet that showed all the hotel rooms that were coming in on the organization and activities that they sponsor, and so we were able to do that math to say, well, this amount of tax dollars are coming back into the community.
There's a membership different than a donation, because the county would be a member.
Yeah, and that's what, and then we just have to look at and see if that membership would make sense, right? I mean, if we're a non-voting, what does it mean to be a member if we're a non-voting member? So we just have to dive into that to see what exactly that means and whether or not that is appropriate for a public entity to be a part of. We're members of a lot of quasi-government entities. UAC's one of them. It's a quasi government. We're a member of that organization. So right now, I wouldn't say that we can't do it. I would just say we probably need to decide what we're going to do, or look at both options. If we're a member or if we're donating, what do both of those categories entail?
Okay.
Depending on how much Public Lands Council does on national legislation, and even if they were to say some of their annual events in Utah are going to be held here in Vernal, that brings in tax dollars, and it's not very hard to come up with $500 worth of tax revenue, right? I mean, have about 20 people go to your restaurants and 20 people get hotel rooms and spend some money in the community, and you've brought that money back into the community. So there's some things that we could work out that way. So I wouldn't just slam the door on it, but I would say we do have to be careful when it's going to even a nonprofit.
And John, to your question a minute ago, I've shown checks written to Public Lands Council and the UAC Public Lands Project. So I don't know the difference between those and the ones we did do some research to see if they're different entities or if they're the same entity. I don't know.
So this year we wrote a check to Utah Public Library Council.
You probably
well,
didn't write
I'm going to look.
You probably didn't write it to Utah Public Lands Council. You probably wrote it to the Public Lands
Council. Public Lands Council.
We did. We went national. Yeah, I remember it.
So that would be fine, too. I mean, if you wanted to just continue paying the national, it doesn't help us on the Utah deal pay ours, but you can still pay directly to the national and still be a part of that. It wouldn't go to help Utah pay its 25,000. It would just go and say, okay, we're part of this organization. If we need your help, we expect some help.
How much was that, Mike? You know?
I'm looking right now, just a second.
Well, I was wondering if we could have two birds with one stone, if we pay to Utah to be part of the national, if something that way, then we don't have to pay the national, we do it through Utah.
It's all going to be about what comes back in our community. So,
is the Utah chapter new?
It is.
Yeah.
It was done through the state. It was always done through the Department of Ag. Okay. And as ranchers, we contributed to pay that because part of our grazing fees went to the Department of Agriculture through an agreement with the federal government, and then they used that some of that. The issue was a lot of us ranchers never knew we was in the neighborhood and didn't know we had that resource available to us. So it's actually better if we just pull it out of the Department of Agriculture. We run it ourselves. We have board members from all different areas of the state. I'm the current vice president. So.
We paid $2,000 back in April of 23. So I'm anticipating the new one coming sometime.
Seems like that come through UAC too, didn't it, or did it?
Well, there's another one with UAC.
Remember, John? Is that coming through UAC? Was they promoting it and we sent, do you remember?
No, we got a bill for public lands.
Last time we played UAC was in 2004.
And what were we paying?
$100.
So Utah was scrambling to pay their $25,000. That was the number of it. They were scrambling. So last year, this year we're better organized. We're starting to already collect, so we won't be that scramble. So they'd probably come to the county and say, hey, can you help us?
That's probably what we just need to find out. Make sure we're not paying it twice somehow through the UAC or through other means. But.
I'll visit Laura today. She's there and see what we find out. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay. Reverse, we're back up to three public defender contract from the district court. Check you bowed out. Lance Dean's here.
Yeah, you were coming.
Microphone.
At the end of I need a microphone.
Welcome back, Lance.
Yeah.
Isn't it good to be alive?
Right.
On March 22nd, my office terminated a district court contract of Tyler Ayers. We signed that termination. We leaned on John here for the John Sturmer for the precise language for that termination. And Tyler Ayers was paid through March. I've met with Zeke, who met with Commissioner Larson, regarding hiring a new person that would actually start April 1st so that we could make sure that there's no lapse in the governmental services there or prevent an overlap of those same services. So we've selected the person who had, I don't think he interviewed, but he had applied back in December when we hired Tyler starting January, and his name is Aaron Owens, and I believe that we're on all fours in terms of getting him to sign on as of April 1st under the emergency purchase policy. Is that what we're trying to do? You're going to have to give me the right language. I'm riffing here.
It would be under professional services and emergency procurement.
they kind of fall under both in this circumstance. So Aaron Owens has signed the contract district court form, which would begin on April 1st, and it will go to December 31st to fulfill what would have been Tyler Ayer's contract. And then there's a provision in there which we have on all of the district court contracts, which says that there's an agreement to extend that for two additional one-year terms. The compensation is the same as the other contracts, which is $9,166 per month. So we'll be asking you tomorrow if the commissioners can sign that contract that goes up to December 31st.
Okay, that most of that fee stay about the
same? Yes.
The contract. Basically passed through.
Right. Every budget item was sometimes shared and sometimes goes to some county money and sometimes goes to our grant, which is just under $400,000. Aaron Owens.
Okay. Discussion? Okay, item four. Ryan, 2024 UEM Wi-Fi for Libraries Project Plan Budget Application, MOU.
Sorry. Uh-oh. I didn't turn on anything.
Control.
I can see it there.
I'll give it a second. It'll warm up. Commissioners, as Sam Passy was kind of headed out the door, he kind of gave this to me and said, hey, if you want any money, you might be able to get some off of this. And so we applied for it. Crystal and I applied for it pretty much as he left. We just filled out all of the information that was of interest. It's kind of a grant reimbursement. I mean, it's a you have to pay for it, and then they'll give you the money back kind of deal. So, so what it kind of covers is access points for the library, the Regional History Center, and the Heritage Museum. Or at least that's what we requested for and what they actually have already agreed to. So it would cover basically wherever the stars are at, that's an access point. In the library, though, that would be both the first floor and second floor. One of the additions that we're going to be making is that this right here is outdoor, and same with this one is also outdoor. So it does kind of cover the parking lot, the quad, the plaza, whatever you want to call it there, and then also the Nauta Park area as well. Now, I know that Strata also has a hot spot in this bathroom, but as far as I understand it, a lot of people just can't use it, can't get signed into it, different things like that. So not trying to necessarily compete there, but it would provide access, you know, to a good portion of this area, any events going on in that area, live after five, those kind of things, and then some of the, you know, some of the different events that occur in this area, we would probably have a decent Wi-Fi coverage in that area. The agreement that we have to agree to is basically that we have read and understand to the documents in the UEN Wi-Fi Library Program guidelines and FAQs. I have all of that information, but really it's just basically saying that, hey, you're going to follow the purchasing policy that you have in place, and then the application has been approved, which our application has been approved. For a total of $34,858.15. So they got it as specific as possible. They wanted us to have quotes and everything else like that beforehand. This does include 43-62-13 of Spectra coming in and doing some of the cabling drops for us, just where our department's a little bit stretched right now for staff and different things like that. We felt like that $4,000 for Spectra to come in and do the cable pulls was worth the money.
Especially when it's on a grant.
Yeah, especially when it's, you know, reimbursable. So the other thing that we're agreeing to is that we understand and submit to the UEN property accounting form. So that's this accounting form here. And so we just have to fill this out, you know, what the what the purchase is, you know, our contact name, what the manufacturer of the item is, those kind of things. So not a huge deal there. The only one of these that's a little strange is that we will have to apply UEN tags with ARPA inventory stickers to every single piece of equipment that we get from them. So we'll actually probably end up with, if I remember correctly, the actual pieces of equipment, some of them are switches and some of them are access points. The access points themselves are under $1,000, so they would not have an inventory of our tag, but the switches would have both an inventory tag of ours and an inventory tag of UEN's. So a little strange there, but as long as we're okay with that, they're agreeing to give us, to reimburse us this much money. So. Any questions?
So you're saying no tags to equipment under $1,000, but UEN and ours $1,000.
They'll still require a tag on the access points, the ones that are under $1,000. They still require that tag on every single piece of equipment that they can tag, and it has to be a visible tag for them as well. So it will be on the outside of the device. I haven't seen the actual tag yet, but I'm pretty sure. I mean, I've seen them in schools. It just says property of UEN, and it has like a barcode on it. So, even though it's technically not their property, they've officially said that the property is ours to deal with as we need to. But if we ever need to take it down or anything like that, then we need to let them know that inventory tag has been taken out of commission. So, the idea behind this is that it will last for a minimum of 5 years. That's what the licensing is 5 years. But the access points themselves and the switches and everything else like that, we're hoping to get 7 years out of them.
So if they want to claim it's their property, are they going to replace it in that 5-year period or goes that?
So unfortunately, no. This is a one-time deal for them because it's coming from their ARPA funds. It's all a one-time deal. Now, the access points inside the library themselves and in the Regional History Center and the museum, these are all access points. Other than the two outdoor ones, these are all access points that we have on our regular replacement schedule anyways, so we would be paying for this either way. But yes, the two outdoor ones, which is, and I can kind of tell you a general idea of how much money that is. They are outdoor access points, they're $1,745.79, so almost $1,800 plus the license is another $400 for the, and then the antennas themselves are another $145. So $2,200 ish for those outdoor access points for a 5-year license on those. Once again, not required to do those. We don't have to stick to the specific application that we've submitted, but we just cannot go over the application submitted amount if we want it to be reimbursable.
So. Any other concerns, questions, thoughts?
Is this considered federal funding, or is it, I'm guessing if it's coming from ARPA, that we'll have to report on our CIFA and OPSET for our annual audit and all that?
They didn't specify one way or another on that. I can send you the background information and see as far as that goes. But they did require our library federal ID number and different things like that. So I'm guessing so. this UEI.
We'd be a sub-recipient of a sub-recipient, but we'd be on that one.
Yeah.
We're not the actual grant applicant. UEN is.
Which we would still be required to put on our CIFA. So if you wouldn't mind sending us the application or the contract, we can see what we need to do to get that on that reporting.
Okay. Can do.
And we've got the go-ahead from John. Yeah,
I've sent it to his office, and they've reviewed it. As far as I know, everything seems to
be sure. Agreements with Strat on that other point that would be interfering with, or any agreement that we
as far as I know, there really was no agreement other than that we agreed to let them put it in there. As far as there was nothing written in stone or anything like that that we said, yeah, we won't provide Wi-Fi in that area or anything like that. So, but I don't recall any contract, anything else in that area.
Okay.
Yes,
ma'am. I'm J.C. Brewer. Years back, when I was doing a lot of volunteer work for Uinta County, Public Lands Advisory Committee for many years. At that point, we had input on public land issues from all of the users of the public land, not just the grazers. Is this National Lands Council set up to where we have input from all of the public land users, not just the cattle? I didn't get a chance to ask Richie before he left. He sat on that same board, on the Public Lands Advisory Committee, that I sat on for a long time. Does the local users now, all the other users of the public land in this county, have input into this council or just the grazing folks, just the ranchers?
On the state level?
Yes, either state or county level. I don't care. Are we having input from the bottom up through this national?
We do on the national side. I do know that. It comes through us, and we advise for the National Public Land Group.
So the advice then that we're going to the National Public Land Group would, let's say recreation, let's say hunters, let's say oil and gas industry, anything else that needs to have input on through the public, the National Public Land Committee, would come through this commission.
It does. We use FLIPCO for a lot of that because it's federal. And they fight very well for recreation, grazing, multiple use, basically.
You go basic multiple use. That's what I'm advocated
very,
for years.
Very much so.
Do we still have the Public Land Advisory Board?
We do not. That dissolved years ago when I quit. I burned out and quit years ago. But we run under Mike McKee set that up. And we advise on. We had a weekly, sometimes weekly, and always monthly meetings. And advised on every user from the public lands had input and had members sitting on that group. And we had a lot of input. We got the proposals from the BLM, the Fish and Game, the state, all of the users of the public land brought their concerns to our group, and then we brought it to the commission. But that only lasted for a period of time. And I'm wondering now, Richie, you were representing agriculture and grazing then, ranchers then. Bless his heart for still doing it. But is he the only, my question to him was, is he the only input that Nashville could have got from the county?
No, we get input from all the different user groups that come through our public lands.
Well, that's what that's my question. I'm getting back. Do we still have a public lands advisory group in the county?
We don't have an advisory board, but we do have a public lands meeting every month. Every month. We have it with our public lands partners.
But the groups just come through. So I'm the community development department's over the public lands stuff now. And so we take any comments from the public and the users. And then we put them into comments from the county into the group, into whatever the, whatever is being posted by the federal or state governments. This Public Lands Council is just another way for us to help get more people making the same or similar comments on these different projects or proposals from the federal government agencies. So this is just another avenue to be able to comment and get it there. The county is also, we're not just going to rely on Public Lands Council, or we're not just going to rely on FLIPCO to make comments for the county itself. We make a lot of comments, different proposals on BLM, Forest Service, CITLA, all Bureau of Reclamation, all kinds of different federal and state agencies projects.
Okay, well, that's kind of what I was trying to figure out is the structure here now in the county. Since I haven't been involved in it for a while, because we've got a bunch of public land issues coming up. BLM is updating their management plan. We've got some other things coming up that's going to concern all the users of our public land in this county.
Yeah.
And I want to be part of that. And so I was trying to figure out the structure here now.
Yeah, so
who the lead is.
You can bring it to me. Yep. Email in the office. So you can email or come into the office.
I don't email. I'll come in. I've lost better notes than I do over cell phones. That was my question. But if we get representation on this national thing for other users besides.
That's just another avenue to be able to get comments into the different agencies. This would be federal agencies, mainly, I'm guessing, but it's just another avenue. The county's not just going to hand everything public lands related over to this group and say, here, go comment on our behalf. We're still going to make comments on those things we choose to.
Jay, I think it's important to remember we talk about this at all the cattlemen meetings you're welcome to come to. And Richie stated it there, they will advocate for more than just grazing. They'll take them on multiple aspects. So, you know, I know Richie's more than willing to have input and help on that. We all are.
Well, Richie's done a wonderful job for years. I really appreciate him on that. But I was wanting to make sure that we had an avenue here for somebody, appointment, somebody, a committee, something, where we can, those of us that advocate for multiple use issues, have some input into a channel to the national group, is what I'm getting at. We've got some public land issues coming up here directly that I want to have some input in.
Richie's a good source. He's on it, along with the other members all over the state. So they're pretty united on it.
Thank you.
Okay, Brad.
Jerry.
We're Jerry. Thank you.